I have a title that we will talk on. We have spoken much on this subject, but I sense that the Lord would have us again to open and look at this. And the title that we're having for this today is Ask, Seek, Knock. Ask, Seek, Knock. And I think we all know where we're going with this in the Word of God. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 12. Verses 7 to 12 of Matthew 7. And we're calling this Knock, Seek, Ask. Because we're going to see how God sets principles with regard to our faith and how we ask from God. And we all know this quite well, but let's just read these few verses from 7 through to 12. And he says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So we're calling this today, Knock, Seek, and Ask. And I'm going to briefly look at the last verse here in verse 12 in this context of these few verses that can be overlooked, but everything is there for a reason. And he says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So he says that whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. So in other words, you don't want the dirty done on you any more than you want to do it on somebody else. And it's giving the principle here that what we would like, what we want, is blessing and not curses. So because we like blessings, we bless others as well. That is the nature that we are to have in our hearts if we are to knock, seek, and ask. In other words, we need the love of God within our hearts so that we can ask correctly and in the right heart and spirit. So that is there really in the context. And I brought this up because that so often can be left out. So bearing that in mind, he says then in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you." So we find here that there are three key words in which we receive. And we know these words. It's ask, seek, and knock, which is exactly what we're calling this teaching. And God has saved us not only to redeem us, to save us from hell, but he's also given us blessings in his word and that comes with salvation. Like any father who loves his children, he will bless them. But there is a way that God blesses. There is a time in which he blesses. There's a way in which he works. You see, He's not like a human father, but we've read there where the analogy is revealed. Because parents who love children strive with all their heart to give the best and to protect and to look after them. That's what parenting should be. And if that is in human beings, then how much more is it in our Heavenly Father? And we know that through salvation, through redemption, that we're now co-heirs with Christ. He has given us a down payment where we can draw. It's like we've shown you before, God has an account, it's endless, and you can draw from it. Your signature that you put on the check is valid. It's part of the inheritance. However, there is a way in which you draw these things. And obviously, you have to walk uprightly with God. You have to be in relationship with Him, obeying Him, seeking the kingdom. We will look at some of these things as they go on. So we often say, it's free, but it's not cheap. And so we have to learn these spiritual principles in which to ask from the Lord. And this is going to help you with your faith. Because, of course, we need faith in which to believe what we read, to believe what we see written, that it is God's word. But He also has to teach us how faith has to be appropriated, you see. It's not just, oh, I'm in faith. Faith also has to know, to understand, has to learn. This is why we labour in doctrine, because it is important. And so he's saying here then, ask. This is the first word that he's showing. Now, in the Greek, it's interesting that this word to ask can also mean to beg, to crave, a desire. So they are just some of the words that are connected with regard to asking. For example, in verse 11, which we've just read, but we'll read it again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? So we ask. And there is much to ask in this world. And God knows that. And God knows that we need to be equipped. We need to have provision. We need to have what is needed in which to walk each day in covenant with the Lord. God is also practical. And when we trust Him, and we obey Him, He's going to provide. And we will look at that later on. So there is the idea first in which to ask, to beg, to crave. Well, it's not many of us have ever done any begging. Probably we've never done it, but there are people around the world who beg. And it can appear quite demeaning. It's something that in some ways looks very sad. That poor person, look, they're having to beg. We don't see much of that in the Western world, but I've seen it in countries. And it looks sad. And people don't have much time for people who beg. Sometimes they can be quite prejudiced. Well, why don't they get up and get into a job like I do or whatever it would be? So it's quite controversial when you beg. And yet that word is part of asking before God. To crave for a thing. Have you ever been so thirsty, so dry that you are craving for water to drink. Or desires. God says he gives us the desires of our hearts. So this is what he says, ask and it will be given you. And these are a number of ways in which we ask. It's like in relationships or in marriages and home life. You know, if somebody or husband or wife or whatever it is going out, or can you get something from the shops? We're running out. So you ask. It's like your child at school, you ask the teacher, how is my child getting on in education? You ask these things. Or you ask somebody because you're lost. Can you show me the best route of which to take? There's so much that we ask for in life. And often that asking is in a practical way. What does it say? Let's turn looking at this word. For example, in John 11, let's turn to John 11 and verse 22. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So Martha knew that whatever the Lord asked of the Father, it would be given him. Now, how does she know that? Because she sees his prayers being answered. There is something about him that God is with him and blesses him. He never doubts when he asks because he's one with his Father. Let's turn also to John 14. John 14 and verse 14. John 14 and verse 14. Ask, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's the one there where it says many times in which to ask. He says, most assuredly, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. So he says we ask in his name. We are identified with his name. His name is impregnated into our hearts. His nature is recreated in us. The old is finished. We are a new creation. He has come to take over, to recreate his life in us. Therefore, we can ask in his name. And he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we start to get this confidence that we can ask of God. And then if we turn to John 16, verse 23, John 16 and verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he's showing us that we don't really know. We haven't asked. He says, you know, you're not really asking me. There's a, you know, we can ask for, a new coat or whatever it would be, and God will give that. That's all part of just seeking the kingdom. But he's saying that you haven't really asked. And the reason you don't yet understand how to ask, because you're not yet one with me. You are by faith, but you are not experiencing the oneness, the unity that we have. It's fellowship. And then you begin to see what there is to ask, and you ask the right things. We still so often can be so self-centered. And you see, this asking is where you're looking away. You're not looking to your needs. You are in tune with God, his mind, and you are asking those things that he really wants you to ask. I began to learn this when I started to realize that God was working me to ask to open doors, that the word of God will go forth, that the word from this assembly will go to the four corners of the earth. I didn't have to doubt that. I knew he would answer that, and he does. You see, these are the things that come out of relationship. And you gradually grow into this. For example, in 1 John 5, verse 15. 1 John 5 and verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So now he shows us something a little more here with regard to asking, because he says, if we know that he hears us. So the Bible tells us that there is a knowing. There is an inner knowing, a witness by the Spirit that God has asked. He has granted my petition. I've asked him. So we're beginning to see that in this asking, there's a lot more than what we just think. And this word to know, and if we know, is also the same wording is to know Christ. The same as the apostles, they saw him, they touched him, they saw his ministry, they saw him crucified. It's a knowing where you can't doubt. I know, I've seen, I've witnessed, I've experienced. And he says, that is what I want you to have in asking. A witness, a knowing that I am generous, I'm loving, I hold no good things to them that ask. Here we're getting this idea of relationship with Almighty God. So there is just some of the understanding with regard to ask. You see, we can ask God for wisdom. Again, this is something that the Spirit wants us to ask for. We need that wisdom, and God is going to give it, as he says in James 1, verses 5 to 6. James 1, verses 5 to 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And that's what unbelief does. It makes us unstable. One minute we're believing, next minute we're not. We're not settled on the word. And so he says, you need wisdom. You are lacking an understanding that faith is a rest. Faith doesn't strive. Faith doesn't try to work at it. Faith is about believing. That is the wisdom of faith. And he says, you need to ask. You are lacking wisdom. You're not understanding how faith works. And it is a rest. It's not doubting. And if you find yourself doubting, you deal with those fiery darts. You guard your mind, because the enemy is going to attack your mind with regard to your faith, because that's where he gets us. And when we begin to doubt, when we begin to look at the symptoms, when we begin to look, around us, we start to doubt. And we're to deal with it. When you take a stand of faith, when you stand upon a promise of God, you're not to doubt. Because God has given you the wherewithal, the sword of the Spirit, in which to deal with those doubts and the lies from the enemy. And he's very good, doesn't he? After about 2 days, you prayed a prayer of faith. See, it hasn't happened. It didn't happen, did it? You see, God isn't faithful, and so on. And we begin to listen to it. And of course, logically, he's right. Because we're not seeing it yet. He always uses an element of truth, but he twists it. And this is where we glean our faith from the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's how we get it, in order to ask, but not doubting. And the signs when you're doubting, you begin to waver. You're up and down. And then you begin to hear it come out of your confession. Faith knows how to confess. Faith knows how to endure, to hold on, to believe against all obstacles. And that's how all the saints in the Bible, that is how they walked, believing when everything at times was against them. And that's how God's purposed it. And he says, you need wisdom how to walk this, and I will give it to you if you ask. Here we go. We come back to asking. So we're beginning to learn that there's a little bit more to this asking than just general things. We're to go deeper with God, you see, and that's what he wants with us. You see, our salvation and the world that we live in throws us onto asking. It's, if you like, our spiritual survival. Human nature has spiritual survival. And we have spiritual revival. Human nature has human revival in that sense. We will always fight to survive. It's built within us. It's in the animal kingdom. But there is a spiritual side of survival. And this spiritual part of survival is our asking, believing, standing upon the promises of God. That is what preserves and keeps us. And it comes, as we've said, out of a relationship with the Word of God. As I've said so often, there is a person behind this Word. And his name is Jesus. And he's alive, living, today, now, this moment. And so, we have to bear that in mind, don't we, with regard to our receiving. And then it says that we are to seek. Well, we know that it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So there is the seeking every day, the kingdom, and the kingdom's blessings. And the kingdom's blessings are to preserve you, to keep you, to feed you, to pay your bills, to protect you when you go out, when you come in. That is all part of seeking the kingdom of God. And how many of us put the kingdom first? And before you can ever put the kingdom of God first, the kingdom of self has to be dealt with. Because we'll always put the kingdom of self before the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're selfish beings. And the only way the self life can be dealt with is when you daily take up your cross, and the cross will crucify that selfish life in us so that we can put the kingdom of God first as we yield and not resist. That's why Jesus, he turned to the crowds on several occasions, said, if any wants to follow me, then deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. They knew what a cross was. They were very aware of it and saw many victims put on it. Today we haven't got a clue. It's just an ornamentation or something upon an altar. No, that is how we seek the kingdom of God. When we are kingdom minded, when we put that first before anything else, before your wife, your husband, your child, your family, whatever, that takes priority. And then he says, all these things will be added unto you. You will be a blessing. God will bless you so much that you will be a blessing to many others as well. In your sharing, in your giving, in your time, or however the Lord uses you. Fruitful ministries are always ministries that have got the kingdom of God right, settled in their life. It's first priority. And that is what he says with regard to prayer, seeking God is to put him first. Now, this word seek is an interesting word because it can also mean not only to find, but it's also connected with meditating or reasoning something out or inquiring. So in our seeking, we can meditate in the word of God, which we should do. Our seeking can also be to reason through as the Spirit leads, or to inquire of God. And these are all valid things because sometimes we need to ask the Lord. We're not sure, we don't know. And so that comes under this seeking and waiting until, and then the asking comes, and then he will show us, you see. So that gives us an idea of how we seek. And we, of course, use the analogy of Matthew 6:33. And then there comes the knock, the knocking. Ask and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. You are not going to knock on a door if you know it is not going to open, or it will never open. I can guarantee you won't knock. But that doesn't say this here. We're knocking because we know it will open. And so that gives us an encouragement to do it. And this knocking can also mean the word to rap, to make a rapping noise, a continual knocking, not giving up, like the persistent widow. She wasn't going to give up. She kept knocking. She said, I'm going to wear him out. I'm going to attack his patience. She had the audacity. She was determined. She was begging. She was craving. She was desperate. And sometimes that is what God is going to do with you with regard to your asking. Probably we've never been in an absolute desperation. Maybe some parents have with their children. Maybe their child is dying on a deathbed. And you will get a mother or father will plead, will cry out to God for mercy to save this life. This is what sometimes this knocking, asking can do. Sometimes we have to knock, we have to keep with it. See, a door doesn't always open immediately. And so he's telling us in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So we're getting the idea, don't give up in prayer. Don't give up believing. Don't give up in knocking, seeking him. Because he said you will find. Because he says he's going to give you what you ask. And our asking comes out of relationship with God. It comes out of knowing the word of God. You're not going to ask contrary to what is in God's word. You see. In other words, you're not going to ask God, Lord, I really fancy going up in a rocket and I'd like to land on the moon. I'd like to have a walk around there and see what it looks like. I mean, you won't find that in the word of God. But you see, that's how people's minds think. And this is why the mind has to be renewed by the Spirit of God. We're to put on the mind of Christ. And part of that putting on the mind is knowing the word of God, and also the helmet of salvation. And then your asking is in harmony with the word of God. It is in agreement. The same as our salvation, our confession in Romans 10 is in agreement. If we confess, that Greek word homologio, to agree, to speak the same. So we speak this word before Almighty God. He's not going to deny his word when he's already given it to us, but he's showing us how to receive. You see, one thing God is not going to do, he is not going to spoil us like some children are with parents. They just plow them with gifts of what they want and they become nothing but spoiled brats. And as they grow up in life, they don't make relationships very well because they always want their own way. God isn't going to do that with us. He's going to give, and he is very, very generous in his giving, but he will never spoil us. And when we do receive, when the manifestation comes, then he gets all the glory. It comes because we thank him, we appreciate, we know that this has come from Almighty God. And he's heard my prayers. He heard my cries. He heard that knocking. There's something that is profound about it. And it gives such a wonderful testimony. An encouragement to others to also believe and to see that God has blessed my brother or sister. He'll do it with me as well. That's what testimonies are about. And the Lord wants us to appropriate these principles that we've been looking here, because God hasn't denied us. He's generously given. When you read these promises, it blows your mind. If you just read even Psalm 91, look what is packed in that psalm. It's mind-boggling. And he says it's for asking, believing, inquiring, knocking, seeking, however the Spirit leads. And as I close with this, the power of the Spirit within us is going to even lead and guide us with this if we yield to him and obey him. He shows us how to do this as he's teaching us now, else he wouldn't be speaking to us like this. And so as we appropriate what we're hearing by faith, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. He guides our footsteps. If we are sensitive and we yield to him and not resist, and we get that wisdom and guidance which James tells us to ask. Brothers and sisters, we can't go wrong in this. We just make it so difficult, because we so often listen to the devil's lies, and he becomes very vocal. Satan hates saints asking from God and walking by faith. Why do you think he attacks like he does? Because it exposes him as the thief and murderer and charlatan that he is. As we have said so often, it's free, but it's not cheap. And that is why we give our life to the Lord. We are disciples who follow him, who've put our hands to the plow. We don't look back. Who are separated, sanctified unto him, separated from this world, its lies, its deceptions, and allowing the Spirit to do it. You see, that's all part of it as well. Your stand, your consecration with God. See, God isn't going to bless your prayers if you're still in the world and living like the world. And that's why they don't bother with faith. A lot of churches don't bother preaching faith because they still rely on the world and live like the world and act like the world. We're not to. A Christian's life and walk is a miraculous life and walk. It's what can't happen in the natural. That's what a Christian's life should be. And obviously a witness for Christ and the fruit that we bear. But all of that the world cannot give. And that's what makes us so different from the world. But the enemy will get us to look back. He'll get us to rely on those things that are in the world. And this is why Jesus referred to Lot's wife. Lot's wife thought she was going to escape judgment, because that's what was happening. God was raining down hail, fire and brimstone. And she thought she was going to escape, but she didn't. And we know why. Her heart was still there. The same with the children of Israel. They didn't make it into the promised land. They perished in the wilderness because their hearts were still in Egypt. And 40 years God worked with them to get that out of their heart, but they would not have it. They were stiff-necked. And as we know the story, Joshua and Caleb, who were of another spirit, they were the ones that went in. Do you know why? Because they were men of faith. They had seen the mighty miracles of God. And they knew they were well able to take the giants of the land. That's what faith does. And that is why God wants to make giants of faith out of you, brothers and sisters. You may say, oh gosh, you know, I've only got a mustard seed of faith. Well, use that then and watch it grow. We're saved to walk by faith. There's no other way. And that's why Jesus said those who walk by faith, those who endure to the end, will be saved. And that's a sign you've been eternally called from the foundation of the world. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you.